Anybody when they played Halo 3, check in on their that old 13-year-old KD ratio you had on your Xbox Live account? Anybody want to fess up? Because mine was not up to my current 2020 standards.
Mine was 0.91, which is not terrible.
It was 2007. You had baby hands.
Yeah.
You didn't have true gamer reflexes like you do now.
It's true.
I know you've been working hard. I know you've been doing your wrist exercises. Mm-hmm. Justin, you look like you have a shameful confession vis-a-vis your KD race.
I don't even monitor it. It's about the I do it for the love of the game.
For the listener, Justin slipped on his gunner glasses right now, so we know that he's playing for keeps.
Yeah, whenever he puts those on, his KD Raish increases by a few good percentage points.
He's also wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and the contrast is sending me places.
Damn, Chris, dragon. No, he looks good. Style, Chris. That's my fucking brother, dude.
It's fine. It's fine. You know what? I have children now. The only KD I'm concerned about is being a killer dad.
The only KD I care about is my kid. My kid, who I love. I love my kid.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm ready to finish the fight.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I already did finish the fight.
My name is Chris Plant, and I wish we were talking about Destiny.
My name is Russ Freshing, and I know the best Halo of the week.
Welcome back to the besties. Welcome home, if I may be so bold. Usually, this is a game of the year show that goes all year long, a book club, but for video games, where we talk about the latest and greatest in interactive home entertainment. But while there is a brief pause, a brief respite from the new release calendar, we are dipping back into 2007 in a limited mini-series, as all mini-series are limited, I suppose. We are talking about the games of 2007. So far, we have talked about Portal, BioShock, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare. You can go listen to those episodes if you so choose. But today we are talking about Halo 3, a Halo game that's the third one. Yes. It came after 1 and more briefly after 2.
Can I give a little context about why people were so amped about Halo 3?
I think it's important to give a lot of context about Halo 3 in this episode, because like that is the stark contrast of how I remember this game and the lead up to it to like what I have been playing over the last week is like not the same thing at all.
Okay, so Halo 1 comes out on the original Xbox. I want to say, what was it?
2001.
And people were very happy about it, and it introduced multiplayer and all sorts of features, and the campaign was a lot of fun, and people were jazzed about that. And then
big
Halo
open
2-
spaces. You could like drive vehicles. Oh, yeah. These were kind of like fresh new things.
And more importantly, it like Microsoft exists as a gaming entity today because of Halo 1. It was I feel like it established the term killer app for the Xbox. It was the reason that the Xbox survived in the landscape of PlayStation and Nintendo.
Absolutely.
So like it was a very important game to this company.
Yeah.
We fast forward a little to Halo 2.
Yes,
Halo
indeed.
2, multiplayer, online. Halo 2, I played so much Halo 2.
So much.
In my college, I'm not saying my drug dealers, I'm just saying a drug dealer's dorm room. And that to me is like, I felt like I got the true Halo 2 experience. I was surrounded by people smoking hookah. They were drinking the predecessors to, what is it? What is that? Loco?
Four Loco. Did you forget the number of locos?
This is pre Four Loco. This is homemade Four Loco. We would have like LAN on the college network, and that was the dream. So whether or not Halo 2, I don't want to ever revisit it, because experiencing it that way was precious to me.
Yeah, I do want to mention one thing about Halo 2 specifically, because Plant rightly has talked about the multiplayer and the online multiplayer, which was groundbreaking. It was
incredible.
not the very first time there had been console online multiplayer, but it was the first time they like someone nailed it.
It was Xbox. It was Xbox Live's like real time to shine, and Xbox Live was like transformative in how it made online multiplayer accessible to like every single person who had an Xbox 360.
Totally. I do though want to talk about the campaign of Halo 2. Which has moments. It does have moments, but
it has a lot of fucking cool moments.
It does.
I went back and watched a lot of cutscenes from Halo 2, but
but it ends in maybe the worst ending of a video game that I can remember. The basic basic idea is that you are fighting with the Arbiter alien guy and Master Chief, and at some point you're fighting a big gorilla man because he's the bad guy for some reason, and then Master Chief is like, "We're gonna go to Earth and finish the fight," and the game fucking ends right
it is,
there.
It is not even a smash cut to black. It's like kind of a weird, awkward, slow fade to black, and you're like almost like a scene transition. And then, but then there's not any more video game after that.
Nope.
Because the game was like fairly rushed, right? Like it came out in 2004, so they had 3 years. But you know they were developing for a new console, and so they basically had to cut out the entire final act of the game. And so the campaign is famous for that. I will say, my excitement to replay Halo 3 was based around my memory of certain moments from the campaign that I really dug and was really excited about. And in playing Halo 3, I remembered, oh wait, all those moments are actually in Halo 2. The opening sequence of Halo 2 rips ass.
Yeah,
it's the one where you have to, I'm giving the Covenant back their bomb, and you jump out of a spaceship and like ride a bomb into it. It's fucking rules. Halo 3 though.
Knowing all this context now, right? We know where Halo 2 ends. A question for you. Knowing now where Halo 3 starts, would Halo 2's ending have been any better if it instead ended with you falling into a forest and just walking through a forest for the first hour?
It's because not an hour.
It is.
It's a long mission.
Excruciating. It is excruciating. The beginning of this game, again, like I'm sure this looked great at the time. Apparently it did, because I went back and read a lot of reviews and people are high on this game. There are a lot of hundreds.
I think it still looks good. I think it still looks good.
You all are.
What did you play? I think the environments actually get worse as the game goes on, especially as you get into like flying and vehicle segments. Things get much less detailed and much less cool looking. But I think some of these earlier environments, like the effects and stuff,
wait, but you were you playing? You were playing the HD like remaster of it, correct, Justin?
No,
I guess I got that. I was playing on the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, so that is upscaled.
I didn't think that was out.
It's not.
No, it's out
on
Xbox.
It's not on console.
Oh, if you're playing it on Xbox One, you are probably playing the remastered look.
Okay. No. I was playing the Xbox 360, whatever it is, classics, how you can play. So I played the Xbox 360 version, and like, I don't know, the faces on that one looked pretty fucking busted.
Yeah, the faces are not good. I want to, before we get into the game itself, I want to continue to, I don't think we can overstate, especially if you were working in the business at that time, like what a big deal the release of Halo 3 is, which I think is partially because of the cliffhanger ending of 2, where it's just like there was this massive groundswell of like people really giving a crap about Halo 3 and like actually wanting to, the big tagline was, as we've talked about, finish the fight. And it was like they were pushing it everywhere, and it was the apex of like massive game marketing. I don't think any game since has lived up to. Do you guys remember? I have a treat for you. I have a brief treat. If you can grant me 45 seconds of silence, I wanted it to, for our listeners that have not observed it, I have a classic ad for you that was a bigger news story when it came out, like made more of a splash than the release of a lot of games do today. Some of you probably know what the ad is, but let's listen in real quick.
Can you tell us what you remember about the battle?
We'd been fighting for a while. On the seventh day, we ran out of ammo. We had to scavenge all we could from the weapons that had been left behind. The pistols, shotgun rounds, a handful of grenades.
Do you remember where you were?
when Master Chief armed his grenade. I was in the back of an overturned Warthog firing an M41.
How did you manage to keep it together?
We knew Master Chief was still in the fight. He gave us hope.
That's the whole act. That's not. It's just.
That's is it that the diorama one?
Yeah, where it's like an old man looking at a diorama of a battle, and like that ad, which is called Museum, like was like massive. I mean, it's like it was gigantic, and it was also like serious. It was seriously the game was being marketed as a serious like cultural event, and this is also if I can say one more thing. This is also at a time where I think games were pushing harder for credibility and acceptance mm-hmm. than any other time period yep. that I can imagine. They wanted this to be treated like a gigantic movie release, and that's how it was marketed, and that's how it was being treated by everybody. And I think that like for Halo 3, it actually worked.
Just to contrast that, though, the other big marketing push that was going on around Halo 3... And thinking of this, like, literally is a full-blown synesthetic sensory overload for me, was fucking Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
Yeah,
a limited 12-week run of this citrus cherry-infused bright red Mountain Dew drink that came in a, like, full Halo 3 wrap can.
And I think that was the dawn of Game Fuel, right? Like, that was the first time.
That is where they introduced Game Fuel, and it... Man, can I say something? I'd fuck up a Game Fuel right now.
Yeah, I'd fuck up a Game Fuel for sure. And I was actually so excited about Halo 3 that I just bought Game Fuel just to feel closer to the Chief.
The biggest game, like the biggest game release ever.
The first
midnight launch I can remember going to. Like, it was huge, 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 huge. And again, like, looking back at the critical response, it is flawless, like literally flawless. And I know that we have like the privilege of 13 years of like more fucking games coming out or whatever, but the
I've been playing a lot of 2007 games in the past couple months.
That's fair. And also, I think we have to state that like the big thing about Halo 3 was the multiplayer, Forge, which was the complete like multiplayer level creation tools, game creation tools, Griffball. Like it's a whole different sort of Rocket League-esque sport that came out of the Forge. Like, it was so huge. The multiplayer
Griffball
was huge.
Griffball is what Griffin called Halo 3 multiplayer.
Yes.
I don't know. He insisted.
I know that's confusing. And we have, I think, fair to say, limited access to Halo 3 multiplayer. Or at least I did, playing on the Xbox 360 version. I got into like 3 games and it was not like peak Halo. So keep all that in mind when I say that I think the campaign sucks a big pile of dog shit. I really didn't like it at all. I thought it was not fun. The second mission of this game is you are in this military compound and the Covenant attack, and you're in this comms room, like this central comms room, and the admiral or whatever is like, oh, you got to go and get us some safety. You got to save some guys in the hangar. So you run through some hallways and you shoot some guys and you get to the hangar and kill all the Covenant in there. And they're like, oh, okay, come on back to the comms room. And I'm like, is there a teleporter? You actually want me to fucking just walk through
just
these empty... Literally, for several minutes, just walking through empty hallways back to the comms room, like...
Stepping over all the corpses.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, now you have to go up to the crew quarters and save some people there. Okay, do it. And no fucking kidding. Now go right on back to... Like, 3 times they make you do this, and it is not fun.
No.
It is the opposite of the Warthog escape sequence, like, that is in these Halo games every time. It is, like, conceptually on the opposite. And I couldn't stop thinking, like, what the fuck were they thinking? This is terrible design.
I think the big thing, and this reference is what you were just talking about, the crazy thing that I did not remember until I was replaying it is how fucking slow Master Chief is. He
yes.
is the slowest man alive, and I get it.
I blew armor. Myself up with a grenade trying to push every button to figure out which one made him run. True story. I slowly walked into a grenade as I tried to figure out, like, certainly one of these buttons. And also, how I did not remember how slow he was and how fucking high this dude jumps.
Yeah, he's
he
got
does
hops.
Have hops, though.
So that's the and I think that's why this game feels so dated to us. That is like a big part of it, because the gunplay is fine. Like, the guns feel fine. Most of them, at least, feel okay. Graphics obviously have aged not great, but that's reasonable. It's an old game. But the actual movement makes everything else in the game feel so slow. And we're so used to, at this point, you know, Bungie's made a lot of games since this game came out. And in every game, they have improved on the core 30-second loop of gameplay that they've been making for shooters. So this is like going back and like eating a raw cookie after you've just had like a Milano. Like, this is on its way, but it's in the middle of the process that we are now familiar with. Like, the end result is, at this point, Destiny 2, which is like speedy and, you know, very vertical. Like, you've got
good in every way, like mechanically just, good in every way.
So I think like that goes back to what Griffin was saying with like that dang second stage where you're just running through the hallways. I think you can feel them fumbling towards Destiny or like what they wanted to eventually accomplish. But there was no precedent for that. I mean, this was the first Halo game that had four-player co-op in its campaign. And it also had, like, the score attack mode in that. Yeah, you had two-player co-op in Halo 1 and Halo 2.
Got it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So you had this, like, score attack mode where you could play with four friends, and then you could also, like, go for, like, score runs to compete, even though you're kind of playing together. And it was starting to toy with that, and it wanted to start, you know, looking at, like, not open worlds, but, I mean, for, you know, I don't love the first stage, but these are big spaces.
Like, yeah.
It's a series of, like, big, open, interesting
when you sort
spaces.
Of get to that base, you have that, like, overwatch of that, like, big, it was pretty,
you
I remember.
A sense of, of destiny in that. And there's all these other things they're experimenting with. I don't know if you remember the infection multiplayer mode, where, like, some of the players start out as zombies.
Oh, yeah.
And they have energy swords or whatever. And then every time a human player gets killed, they become a zombie and last human alive wins.
That's so standardized in, like, shooters now.
Yeah.
And
there's the Forge map editor. The other thing that is in here is it was automatically saving game footage from campaign and multiplayer. And it had an actual cloud storage for video and images and your Forge creations. And this is, like, you know, I believe pre-Little Big Planet era. Like, this is the cusp of UGC. So the game, to its full credit, does a ton. Like, Halo 3 is an extremely important game. Unfortunately, it is the first to do most of these things. And as the first, it's not Mario 64 sort of thing. Like, it's it doesn't just, you know, knock it out of the park on the first go.
I want to stress that I don't feel like we're being entirely unfair to specifically the campaign of Halo 3, because I went back and watched some videos of the campaign of Halo 2, and it starts with that sequence of you, like, receiving a Medal of Honor on board this spaceship that just gets fucked up by the Covenant, and, like, everything's falling apart around you. Like, pretty cool level. The whole new Mombasa sequence, which is, like, the second big sequence in that game, has the part where you're just driving the tank over the bridge and just trying to keep it alive the whole time. The sequence where you have to land on the two big walking spider tanks.
Yeah, amazing.
And blow them up from inside. Like, that shit is very memorable. It really, really kicks ass. The first sequence that you have with the Arbiter, you're on this big Covenant rebel like mining station or something like that, that's hanging over this huge desert on a single cable, and, like, everything that is happening, at some point you have to, like, cut the cable and everything's in free fall. Like, those levels, once I watch them, instantly, like, I snap back to remembering how fucking cool it was. So it's not like we're looking back on it 13 years later and being like, oh, they didn't know how to make a campaign, blah, blah, blah. They, like, Halo 1 was full of discovery and was so novel in the first place that, like, it got by just on that. Halo 2, though, had a cool campaign. Like, Halo 2 had a cool campaign with cool levels that didn't end, which was not ideal, obviously, but everything up to that point was pretty good. Halo 3, they had a lot more time with the engine, with the console, with everything, and I think it's just a case of all the stuff that Chris listed that was so important and so revolutionary. Like, I think that maybe that got so much of the attention that just the story and campaign of Halo 3 was just not there.
Something that I did notice while I was playing and I was thinking about a lot is that in terms of a synergy between music and gameplay, I'm not sure that there have been many franchises that have done it better than Halo. One thing that does is people remark whenever you're around like in a way that makes you feel like, you know what? I am the coolest. I'm the coolest guy. I'm the best guy. I want to do this for America. But the themes that kick in, there are so many moments in this campaign where I was like, this is feeling cool. This is a cool thing. I'm ready for it. And then the theme would swell and it would just like elevate it so much.
Yeah.
With just like the work that Marty O'Donnell did, like really, 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 I think, gave it like an epic feel that, and which is a term that's like really overused, but I think really made moments feel like awesome.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't think a lot of games nail. We don't have many game themes that are anywhere near as memorable.
It may be the best game music, like the best game theme.
It's absolutely, like, I remember for 2 weeks before this game came out, I would be just like washing dishes, and in my head, I'd start doing this. It's Halo 3, finish the fight, let's do it right, do it tonight, it is Halo 3, yes, it is Halo, I would have that on a loop in my head. Like, there are very few game themes that can do that would still get me, like, amped in that way.
Super Mario guy, hey, get those coins and eat the guys, get the mushrooms and get really tall now.
It's also beautifully orchestrated. There's so much attention paid to the instrumentation that really gives it a really grand, epic feel.
Yeah. I do think part of the like the distance between that moment, like those musical moments where like the game really peaks and the actual game itself, has to do with kind of a false promise that they made, where like Halo 2 ends with this, we're going back to Earth, we're going to finish the fight.
And all the marketing. All of the marketing.
And all the marketing was that. Was like, you're on Earth, you're going to save Earth, including that ad that Justin played. And most of Halo 3, I don't know, about at least 50% of Halo 3 is like, I'm in an alien space station, and I'm in a Covenant ship. And none of those levels are nice to look at. Like, no one wants to be on that ship.
It's when Jason Voorhees goes to New York. You're like, I can't wait for Jason Voorhees or the Predator to go to New York. And then they spend most of the time on a boat or something.
Yeah.
You're like, really? On a boat in New York?
What struck me is the arc is where most of this game takes place, and it's like really condense a lot of Halo lore. The Halo is this weapon of mass galactic destruction that will kill everything in the whole universe, and it's this series of rings, and they are operated out of this Ark, which is like the central facility that makes the Halos. That's where this game takes place. It's like, you know, this one's for all the marbles. I actually think that like the design of the like Forerunner tech and like the Forerunner like settings of this game are really cool, in the way that a lot of the aesthetic and a lot of the art design of Destiny 1 and 2 have been really, really cool. And then I was struck with like the storytelling in Destiny, especially early on, like fell so flat. And the campaign like really did not light my fire. But you are surrounded by like all this cool shit and like all of these like kind of cool world building ideas that then like you don't necessarily get a great payoff for. And I felt like playing Halo 3, like I felt that in such a big way, because I don't know, I actually really like the arc. I like all the Forerunner shit.
I have two brief observations. One is, man, seeing 343 Guilty Spark again, you guys really, really, really just wanted to make more Halo, huh? Like, the ghost is the Guilty Spark. It's so weird that they find... I've complained this before, but the idea that you would be like, we're finally free of the shackles. Let's do it again. Let's take it from the top. Get that spark back.
Floating orb, man.
Yeah. The other one, as long as we're dumping... the fucking AI in this game of your partners is so laughably horrid, but it is presented to you in a way where it's like, hey, if you want them to drive and you work the guns, totally fine. They've got it. And they're instantly like doing donuts in a ravine. Like, sorry, chief, I don't know, bud. Like, okay, let me drive. All right, I'll shoot. No problem, chief. blast into the sky. Like, I'm circling a tank and you're not shooting the one thing.
Maybe if I had a sexy robot in my brain, I could drive the car good.
That's why I almost always would get a ghost, because at least then, like, I can drive and shoot at the same time. But any time where I'm not the one driving, it is laughably bad. It is, like, really wild how horrid the driving AI is. It's bizarre that it's even an option for them to drive, because they do not know where they're going. Do you guys like the vehicle stuff? Do you like the Hornet stuff is really cool, I think. And I like, obviously, the tank still feels great.
I still fuck around with the Warthog. Like, if a Warthog is ever available, as long as you're driving it, what's funny is the AI, if they're on that cannon, they're fucking like snipers with that the chain gun in the back of that thing. Like, they are incredibly, incredibly competent.
So it sounds like Justin had a different experience, though.
It's target, like, deciding on targets.
Oh.
Like, I want to be, like, the priority is not the gigantic tank that's blowing us to hell. It's the one grunt who's just running behind us, shitting his pants.
Can we talk about the ending really quick?
I also really want to talk about multiplayer just for a second.
Yeah, let me just...
It feels like it'd be unfair not to...
Totally. Let me just briefly touch on the ending. The ending is fucking stupid. Sorry. You show up, you're in like a snow land, and you end up in like the heart of this entire epic end of this trilogy, and there's 343 Guilty Spark, and granted, he is just a little floating robot orb, so I'm not expecting a mech to rise out of the ground and have an amazing boss fight there, but as bad as and frustrating as the boss fight was in Halo 2, the Halo 3 end boss fight is him just floating around shooting one single laser at you, and you step to the left and shoot him back with a laser, and then you drive away. That's the ending.
They had obviously realized, like, you driving a Warthog out of this exploding facility, trying to, like, land on a spaceship to escape the last second, like, that escape sequence is classic, right?
Sure.
The boss fight with 343 Guilty Spark, after he just unceremoniously fucking blasts a hole in Johnson, who is, like, this beloved character that the whole franchise... I thought that was so tonally weird. They, like, kill off a lot of characters in this game with, like, no real... like, taking a moment to, like, stop and reflect on it. And I read something about how they were, like, struggling to come up with the story of Halo 3, and they had just seen Serenity in theaters, the Firefly movie, and
oh my god,
and I read
another
this,
real piece of garbage,
and I read gonna unpack that, and I read this quote, like, we just had this idea of, like, what if we killed some characters off? It's like, yeah, that's a great starting point for your story, because none of those deaths feel especially impactful. Did any of you play any multiplayer during this?
No.
I played a lot of it when it first came out.
I
played a ton.
I managed to get into some games playing on the original Xbox 360 version. There were 1,100 people playing.
Wow.
I love, but because it has, like, fairly rigid skill-based matchmaking, nobody was playing, like, the free-for-all unranked stuff. I had to wait for quite some time, so I only managed to get into a few games. As slow as the single player feels, like, as soon as I got back in that multiplayer, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, this is fun. Like, I played Crazy King just, like, on one map that I instantly remembered and was like, oh okay, I get this now. Shooting it, playing this right after COD is interesting because you have to shoot somebody so much to kill them in this game. For all my problems with the campaign, like, it really only took a single match for me to remember, like, why I got so deep into this game. I wish I could dip back into the Forge and, like, really relive some of those classics. Like, the people would build Warthog obstacle courses. Like, I would love to revisit some of that shit.
Oh, do we all agree that the Modern Warfare is better than Halo 3, the campaigns?
Ooh.
Yes.
The campaign, unquestionably.
Definitely the campaign, not a question.
But the like full product, I mean, that's, like, that's tricky, because, again, like,
that's hard, that's a more
Halo
contextual, but I feel
so
like
much.
Going back, the I feel like the three, I know we've only done first person Portal's, like, not technically a shooter, I guess, but I feel like the other three have held up so much better than this.
Yeah,
and I think that's because, like, if you look at games like Call of Duty and how it's evolved, like, it hasn't changed that much.
It was close. Like,
it was close.
Modern Warfare was close to what, like, I do not want to undersell, like, how much they have, like, fixed and innovated.
Sure.
Like, the many, many teams who have worked on Call of Duty games, like, have done some cool shit.
But it's more nuanced.
Call of Duty, but well, Yeah, it's more nuanced. The bones are so visible, and they are still so good. The mm-hmm. the quick KD or the quick time to death like stuff, like that game has a feel that was fairly well like ironed out,
right.
even when Modern Warfare came out. Halo 3, playing that in the context of how many the hundreds of hours I've spent playing Destiny 1 and 2, I could not help but think like, wow, this is like 10% of yeah. what they have like they have done so much to this since Halo 3 came out.
I also just get the sense playing this game in pretty much, I don't know, like every Microsoft first party game since this game came out, Microsoft seems so afraid of letting its like biggest IP evolve to like it being a huge detriment. And Halo 3 feels like more Halo in a lot of ways. Halo ODST and Reach feel like the last time that we saw somewhat experimentation. I think ODST goes one way in this like weird, jazzy open world thing that doesn't quite work yeah. but is interesting. Reach goes the other way in this big action set piece, you know, spectacular that does its own thing. And then we get these like 343 Industries games of 4 and 5 that are just like back to the more Halo thing. And I'm not saying those games are bad. I'm just saying, boy, are they just more Halo. And Gears of War has this similar problem. I mean, the newest Gears of War, again, it does a little bit more experimentation, but holy cow, are these games loyal to whenever they first became popular.
And I think they feel, I mean, like they, I have not felt the idea that I would not finish Halo 5 back in this era in 2007 would have been kind of unthinkable to me. But like, I feel like you play a couple hours of those games and you like,
yeah,
get it. Like, yeah. You get it.
Did anybody else, was any, I know
maybe Infinite going, will be different though.
That's
leaving
what
the door
I,
open
yeah.
for that. It feels like they didn't call it Halo 6. So.
but at the same time, like, I don't know, this game made me want to put out an APB on Halo Infinite. Like, it's pretty fucking weird that we don't know anything about Halo
it's
Infinite.
Very weird.
Yes? It's quite strange. Okay.
Yeah. Everything I've heard about that game is like all over the place. Yeah. Not necessarily in a bad way, but I think they, you know, once Destiny popped, I think there was a lot of soul searching. And I'm sure like a lot of internal debates of like, okay, but seriously, what are we going to do with this franchise? Like, we have to do something.
They just made it Infinite. Piece of cake.
That's true. They put an Infinite on it.
What's your guys' favorite Halo 3 weapons? I'll give you two because you can dual wield and you can have one on your back.
I really like the dual wielding SMG. Just like the human SMG is pretty fun. And I mean, you can't really. What is the battle rifle? I forget what it has a cool
battle rifle
acronym. Okay,
it's like the BR something.
Yeah, I think the Covenant carbine is very good. And I like the. What not the needler, but the other one that shoots like shards.
The spike gun, spiker.
Yeah, the dual wielding spikers is great.
Needler and the hammer.
Oh,
the hammer is quite good.
Yeah,
it's a fun hammer.
Yeah,
okay, well,
good.
Mine's the needler. Is you can't beat it. It's just so fun.
I mean, there's no aiming.
It's also
you just hold it down.
What? Yeah, good.
Exactly.
It's great.
And my wife, when we were first dating, used to call it the Stegosaurus gun, and I have very fond memories of that.
Yeah.
There was a song, Stegosaurus Gun is coming to get you, Stegosaurus Gun, oh yeah. Man, that's two Halo songs. Two Halo.
Where's the album?
Listen, 343, call me, baby.
Yeah.
I got two original tracks just in this episode for free. Do we feel like it's time maybe to take a break and move on with our lives?
Yeah.
How does that grab y'all?
Yes, please.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. We have no shortage of discussion about Halo that the people are demanding. And, of course, it is our pleasure to deliver. Chris, let's talk about Halo.
Well, we're not going to, actually. None of the questions
okay,
about Halo.
I'm just going to pop
perfect.
Up in the mailbag.
Better. Like, honestly, even better. If I could say that, it's like even better that we're not.
Open up the mailbag. From Mike, imagine... You are the owner of a cursed arcade machine, one which you can never get rid of and never turns off and is always in a prominent room in your home where it beckons to strangers who then ask you about it. What machine would you want it to be?
I mean, it would have to be a game that has a decent, like, splash screen. right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of arcade games have silent splash screens for this, like, exact reason. Like, the, you know, it shows the title, but there's no sound, because if every arcade machine played, like, the theme song to the game as loud as possible, it would be a fucking nightmare. I don't know.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, would it be inappropriate to have that fortune-telling lady that was in all the movie theaters asking for quarters? Would that, is
probably, that would not be great.
So, yeah, NBA Jam?
NBA Jam is where my mind went, but then I remembered that the when you left that game running, or the arcade machine running, all you would hear is just the sound effects of the basketball game.
Yeah, creepy.
So you, it, like, I'm imagining sitting in my office and just hearing, like,
he's heating up.
Like, I don't want that.
I think I would want it to be Daytona, USA. Just so, like,
oh,
I could hear,
God.
Daytona all day. All
do you,
night.
Justin, do you ever think about the fact that the high school that we went to had a Daytona USA machine in it?
So good.
There was, like, a student
almost
rec
made
center.
School worth it.
Yeah, but not quite. But not yeah, quite. Man, you'd be eating in the lunchroom, hear that thing echoing down the hallways.
This is from Centarius. It's been about a month and a half since Animal Crossing was released. Are any of y'all still fully invested in it? I am not, but I know some of you deeply are.
No, not really. I mean, I have probably put 200 hours into that game. Like, I've played it so much and have just kind of hit the point where I don't really... my approach to that game was so project-based, and now, like, I would spend a lot of time on projects. I built a green municipal power plant. That took me a while, and I finished that, and I was like, oh, I beat Animal Crossing. Cool. I just don't really... Until, like, some new stuff is added to that game, I dip in every day to get my recipe, my free recipe, and that's about it.
I like that you're not still playing, but you're still logging in every day, so mazel tov. That's good.
Yeah.
I am still playing, but I am starting to get to that end point because I've almost run out of free space on my island to do stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm working on, right now, a gnome garden situation. But yeah, I it is a project-based game, and I think you need to make your own fun with it. So I basically will, like, hey, here's an acre. I can do, like, a fun, like, jazz nightclub or something like that. And again, I'm running out of acres, so uh-oh.
I've got a question from Emma. Go ahead, Justin.
No, I don't play it very much anymore.
Oh.
Okay. Dynamite drop it.
My wife and daughter got into it enough that there was a lot of ecosystem stuff that I didn't want to get in and like gobble up all the fossils and all the resources and do my chores. And without the chores there, I don't really know what I'm logging. I kind of like, after KK Slider came, I was like, and I got terraforming. After I got terraforming, I was like, okay, I kind of got everything I need out of this. So I don't know. I feel like they some more in God. It sounds insane to say more in game content.
Yeah, hardcore raiding.
Yeah, exactly.
Slip those Gunner glasses back on.
I do want to mention I played over the weekend with my niece, who is 6 years old, and she has her own Switch, and she was playing at her house, and we were playing over FaceTime. And let me just tell you, convincing a 6 year old to buy something called a pocket organizer is very difficult. I'm like, no, this is you want this. This is more inventory space. And she'll be like, I have a garden. And I'll be like, yeah, but don't you want to hold more flowers? She'll be like, no, I'm good. And that is infuriating.
Drag her, Russ.
Yeah, get her, bud.
A question from Emma. How did you guys meet?
Oh.
Justin?
Whoa.
I mean, I feel like you probably know. This, I mean, we all know it the best, but you and Griffin, you met each other through.
Well,
Griffin and I have a family connection there, because we're related. Mm. So that one's easy. I'm trying to actually think. I feel like
I don't think I met Russ and Chris until Polygon, like until we had that first meeting at Polygon.
I remember we hung out a couple times, just seeing each other. I think, were you guys both at UGO?
Yes.
Yeah, and I would see you guys at like events and stuff. But that was sort of where that's like the earliest memory I have.
Yeah, I briefly wrote reviews for Justin at Joystick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't like a momentous thing. It was just because obviously with Twitter and everything like that, like, you know, everyone in the industry sort of knows each other right. just kind of. But yeah, and first time was probably, yeah, probably right, an event for Justin and Griffin. Yeah, Dawn of.
Did you freelance for us, Russ?
I think I wrote one, maybe one piece for Joystick in between jobs at one point.
Hmm. Yeah.
Weird.
And okay. then Fresh and I met at UGO.
At UGO, yes. Many, many moons ago.
Many, many, many. Last question. This is from Kylo Ren. who is a better
God.
Who is a better kisser, Master Chief or Mario?
Mario.
It's Mario. Like, obviously.
Do we know that, though? Do we know that? Because Master Chief does take off his helmet just because it's not shown in the game.
That's dog shit. Listen, he doesn't fucking... That's dog shit. He may take off his helmet from time to time, but like he's not making himself accessible. He may be able to deliver the single greatest smooch in the entire fucking galaxy, but if he's not putting himself out there, he's not like making himself available sort of physically and emotionally, then like what's it fucking... Why does it matter?
He's not available. Like he's not... Like his closest relationship... is a woman that lives in his brain, and like you're never going to compete with that. No. I mean, you're not going to be able to compete with that level of intimacy.
Problem though, I think you're thinking of it from who would be better, right? But I'm thinking of it from who is less worse. And I've heard that Mario never washes his mustache, so it carries decades of food.
Apocryphal. This yeah. is apocryphal. Don't come in here bringing your like fucking, you know. Archive of our own bullshit in here. That's nothing. Listen, he washes it every day. You know what I'm thinking about, though? I've never seen him kiss. I've only seen him be kissed by Princess Peach.
Interesting.
Man, maybe he doesn't understand how it works. Maybe that's why he gets so excited when Princess Peach kisses him, because he's like, what the fuck did you just do with your mouth? That's crazy.
It's also the height differential makes it very difficult for him to be the aggressor in that situation.
The aggressor?
Maybe not the right word, but he would need a stool.
Probably not, almost certainly not the right word, I would say.
Oy.
Hachi machi.
What do we got for next week?
Oh, boy. This is the one. This is a good one. We're going to do Uncharted and God of War 2. We're going to be a bunch of Sony ponies. Going to get real. Talk about some Sony games.
How the fuck?
Don't know how to play these.
Yeah, Uncharted, I mean, the Nathan Drake collection is on PS4, I think, right? So, yeah. Like, that's doable.
It might be PS Now, too, right?
Maybe yeah, PS Now is going to be the easiest way to do it. You can get a 7-week free trial of PS Now on PC.
That's generous.
Yeah, and then you can play Uncharted in the Nathan Drake collection, and you can play God of War 2. They're both right there.
I mean, they literally released Uncharted collection for free to everyone because of the situation.
Yeah, we tweeted that out, so hopefully some folks downloaded it before they took that down.
Should we address the fact that we were going to do Assassin's Creed and have recently discovered that it is not playable on the internet anywhere in the world?
Yeah, so we were that was the plan, was to do Assassin's Creed 1, and we have had considerable trouble getting a controller to work with it on PC. There are apparently hacks. So far, none of them have worked for us.
Man, Assassin's Creed is bad, but it's like such a bummer how hard it is to play some of these games. Like, from a preservation and cultural perspective, it's like it kind of bumps me out.
Yeah, I think it's funny with how PC gamers always talk about, like, well, you know, everything's backward compatible on PC, and it's like, not always.
Like, really? Like,
GOG wouldn't need to exist if everything was truly backward compatible, and then all these like. Dopey hacks that we've had to do for nearly every game just to get them to run.
Yeah,
I mean,
the fucking 2016 remaster of BioShock is like, dude, look how wide your fucking screen is. I'm flipping out. You expect me to run a game? Would you kindly get a smaller screen? There's so much to fill up. I don't even know what to put over here.
Yeah,
I think that's it, everybody.
But yeah,
that's it. But check those games out, and we will join with you there again. If you want to send us mail about them, mail@besties.fan is the address to do that. You can also follow us for free at Spotify if you follow that link, besties.fan. It's a great way to share the show, too. Just besties.fan. It's easy. Do that.
I also want to mention, like, there are actually new games coming out in the semi-near future, which is pretty psyched. I'm pretty psyched.
I Minecraft Dungeons comes out next week, and everything I've seen about that game weirdly gets me excited for Minecraft Dungeons. Yeah. It looks cool. It looks like a fucking cool, like, Diablo hack and slash loot game. It looks fun if you have not looked into it.
And also, obviously, Last of Us 2 comes out in June, I want to say, and then Ghost of Tsushima, as well as the game that I am most excited for, fucking Paper Mario Origami King or whatever it's called looks sick as hell.
Yeah, I can't
so there are actually games coming out. So we will definitely, as the new games come out, we will be returning to that. So you don't have to worry about missing out on those.
Also, Maneater comes out in 2 days, and I legally am not allowed to say anything about it, but I will say that it comes out in 2 days.
I mean, if it comes out in 2 days, you are, because...
We can see you blink a number of times between 1 and 10 of what your official rating of the game is.
Fun factor.
Star rating.
You know Polygon doesn't do review scores.
And for reviewers' tilt, can you just lean to one side or the other?
Right. I bet our listeners stick out your
fucking
tongue.
Love GamePro references from 1994.
Stick out your tongue to represent the fun factor of it, and I'll sort of
what
guess.
Did Sushi X think about it? Okay.
Oh, we're 100,000 years old. We are mummies.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us again next time for the besties, because should the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
The Besties is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!